Welcome to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. When you're in a heated international competition to attract a major global corporation to your region, you'd think you'd get a heads up about a big announcement coming. Not so for Amazon and its short list of communities in the running to host its second corporate headquarters.
I heard about it like pretty much the rest of the public did. I saw an alert on my phone from the Wall Street Journal that they had announced their 20 sites.
That's Bob Swindell. He's one of the three regional economic development bosses who teamed together in pitching South Florida to Amazon.
Obviously very happy. I think this speaks volumes about what we talk about with South Florida and South Florida's, you know, location for technology companies and headquarters.
3 months after the initial packages were due to Amazon, the company announced earlier this month it had narrowed its list of sites for its second headquarters from 238 submissions down to 20 sites.
When it hit the news wire, the phones just lit up.
Kelly Smallridge is the president and CEO of the Business Development Board of Palm Beach County. Her group, Bob Swindell's Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance, and the Economic Development Group in Miami-Dade County called the Beacon Council all teamed up for this region's bid to host Amazon.
We, the three of us, felt a big win because this is really the first time that we've collaborated on a project of this magnitude, and in short order, we found out we were in the top 20.
But for Mike Finney, president and CEO of the Beacon Council, news that South Florida made the first cut was waiting for him when he got out of meetings that day earlier this month.
I was one of the latter folks to get the alert. I think it was about 10:30 a.m., so I was a couple hours after it went out because I was tied up in another meeting with some other businesses. And my phone was blowing up, but I didn't take the time to actually look at any of the text messages.
So no heads up, no draft press release. The three local economic development groups learned about it like everybody else, but they had done it. They had gotten Amazon's attention enough to still be in the running for what is considered to be the biggest corporate business development prize this century, becoming home to Amazon's second headquarters. In early September, just days before Hurricane Irma would come through South Florida, Amazon released its wish list for its second home. The race was on for what Amazon says could grow into a $5 billion investment over 15 years, building or retrofitting millions of square feet of office space, with the company hiring up to 50,000 workers with total compensation averaging over $100,000. This according to the company's original request for proposals. Just a quick note here, the phrase Amazon used in its request, quote, as many as 50,000 new full-time employees with an average annual total compensation exceeding $100,000, end quote, that does not mean average salaries over $100,000 necessarily. Total compensation can include a company's contribution to health insurance, bonuses, retirement, stock options, among other items. Still, total compensation over 100 grand is twice the average household income right now in South Florida. Now, the jobs are the real prize for the cities competing for the business. Second is the notoriety that a winning bid would bring. Hosting Amazon's second home would boost the international business profile immediately for any winning city. Areas in every state except seven submitted proposals. Cities in several Canadian provinces also turned in offers since Amazon declared it a continent-wide competition. One offer even proposed a cross-border headquarters straddling the U.S.-Mexico border. There were about a half dozen areas from Florida that turned in bids, from Tallahassee to Jacksonville to South Florida. But now the only location in the Sunshine State left is the collective offer from Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. It is one of 20 Amazon is now considering. Bob Swindell is the CEO of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance.
You know, it's funny, when we first started talking about working together for this proposal, you know, among ourselves, we said, well, it would really be a great reflection on South Florida and Miami if we made the top 20, assuming there would be, we figured it would be about, you know, ranking of 20 or 15 communities. This was phenomenal news for South Florida. But now the real work begins. You know, we made it to the first milestone. So while that was an accomplishment in itself, we realized that that the next couple of steps are going to be crucial for South Florida.
And like the first offer, the next offer also will be confidential. The economic development groups who put together the package will not be releasing any details of the bid that made the cut. And they say Amazon has insisted on confidentiality for the process going forward. We'll talk about that secrecy a little bit later on in this program. But still to come, up next, what Amazon wants and what Miami or South Florida can offer.
Really pulling those assets together in a way that would be meaningful and persuasive to them to see that this really is a dynamic, competitive, and more importantly, cost-efficient location for them.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. Miami, South Florida really, is still in the race to be the home of Amazon's second corporate headquarters. The company's announcement earlier this month of its 20 finalists included South Florida. That puts the region in competition with areas like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C. Austin, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, and Indianapolis also made the cut. In laying out what it was looking for, Amazon had four basic preferences. Number one, an area of more than 1 million people. Number two, a stable and business-friendly environment. Number three, locations with the potential to attract and retain strong technical talent. And number four, communities that think big and creatively when considering locations and real estate options. So how does Miami stack up? We spoke with Mike Finney of the Beacon Council, Kelly Smallridge of the Business Development Board of Palm Beach County, and Bob Swindell with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance, the trio that helped put together the pitch that got Miami, or South Florida, into the final 20.
Being on this short list really silences some of the doubters and skeptics that, you know, underrated South Florida's ability to compete on a project like this. You know, the Miami brand is phenomenal. It's recognized throughout the world. We know the four research universities here and the technology companies that call South Florida home make up for a phenomenal foundation.
Did you ever feel you had a hometown advantage given Jeff Bezos' connection to Miami, having gone to high school here, Mike?
Well, we certainly were looking for every edge we could find, and the connection with Mr. Bezos and Miami was an important connection to make. What was interesting, though, is it didn't show up very much in any of the media that chose to handicap the whole process when the RFP came out. And we were looking for it, and we just couldn't find it anywhere. So we made some effort to try and communicate it, but more importantly, we knew that it would likely not be a factor that made a determining factor. We felt it was important, but we need to make sure that we had a robust proposal that would, in fact, meet all the requirements as outlined in the RFP.
Yeah, Kelly, you don't build a multi-billion dollar multinational giant on high school loyalty alone. So as Miami looked at the requirements that Amazon wanted to see in this first round, tell us about the process that the other economic development councils went through as you were making a decision about how to present the best face forward for South Florida's opportunities.
So that was a lot of time and resources and a lot of thought on behalf of our three organizations went into putting together this very competitive package, really taking a look at the strengths of Miami versus Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach, and taking a look at a number of different factors. The population of 6 million and 3.1, I believe, that are working. The fact that we had 53% bilingual, 2,000 direct flights, access to international Latin American, Caribbean countries, and really pulling those assets together in a way that would be meaningful and persuasive to them to see that this really is a dynamic, competitive, and more importantly, cost-efficient location for them.
Amazon was very specific about the things that it wanted to see. It wanted a large metropolitan area. It wanted a certain amount of square footage immediately available for it to move in. It wanted lots of acres of land to be able to be developed. It wanted access to mass transit. It wanted a major highway system, I think a mile or two away from any campus. It wanted to get to an international airport within 45 minutes. As you walked through, Mike, that RFP, that request for proposal, that original one, which was made public, at what point did you kind of come to that conclusion that this was something that needed to be region-wide? At what point did the three of you even decide to team up together?
Well, there was one point that you missed in that list. They actually specified a desire to see regional proposals as opposed to single communities within a broad region like this. So really, right from the day one, we understood the importance of us developing a regional proposal.
So there was never any question that it wasn't going to be Miami and Greater Fort Lauderdale and the Palm Beaches separately. It was always going to be the three.
Well, there were probably questions. But the three of us collectively understood that we would make a much stronger case working together. And then we each went back to our collective stakeholders in our own communities to make the case that this was the right way to go. And obviously, all three of us prevailed in terms of making that case. And then when you look at the data, as Kelly just articulated, we look exceptionally strong against the criteria that was outlined. And I've said a few times publicly, you know, I'm an eternal optimist about a lot of things. And in this case, I felt very strong that when they made that first cut, and if that were 15 to 20 communities, you know, the Miami-Dade, South Florida, and I should say Miami-Dade, Fort Lauderdale, Broward, because South Florida is just not descriptive enough. And we think it's important for us to really be a little bit more descriptive in terms of how we present this region. So I thought we had a strong proposal and felt that we would certainly make that first cut. At least I was optimistic. And so we got a lot of work to do now as we move forward.
We'll talk about moving forward in a moment. Kelly and Bob, did you share that kind of optimism from the get-go?
Yes. I had said early on, I would not be surprised at all for Miami to make the short list. And we talked amongst each other about not really getting caught up in the rumored list that were circulating leading up to Amazon's short list. But when we looked at the assets of this area and we looked at the numbers, the data, the raw data, we said that we would be shocked if they did not put us on there. We were more concerned about what do we do once we get shortlisted, because now is when the real work starts, is to make sure that we are on top of this and that we are presenting the right information that they need to move to that next level of decision making.
You know, and Amazon prides itself on approaching business differently. I mean, they're known as a disruptor, and I think that this process they managed initially very differently than the traditional way that it's done. But, you know, there was no doubt early on that working together was going to be the wisest course for us to take. And when you look at the requirements that Amazon put in the proposal, you know, there Broward County would not have met all those requirements on its own. And I don't know that the other counties would have either. We would have fallen short in a couple of areas. But when you look at the three, you know, counties together, you know, we ticked off everything that Amazon asked for.
That's Bob Swindell with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance. He acknowledges there are areas that South Florida is lacking compared to other cities still vying for the Amazon business, such as regional transportation. But he said the newly privately run Brightline passenger train service was a big part of their first proposal. Brightline currently runs from the downtowns of West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale. The service expects to add downtown Miami to its service line, it says, by March. But how this group of economic development leaders positioned South Florida, what they offered Amazon if it comes to the area, all that remains unknown. So still to come, the secrecy around Miami's bid and what's next in the race to bring Amazon's HQ2 to the Sunshine Economy.
We're working as aggressively as possible to ensure that we're meeting the requirements as specified by the company. And the details of that should be in the near term, you know, held close so that we don't in any way compromise competitive advantages that we may have.
This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN, and I'm Tom Hudson. Today we're talking about South Florida's bid to host Amazon's second corporate headquarters. In early September, when Amazon announced it was looking for a North American location to build its second HQ, it was very public about what it was looking for. The company's criteria included an existing building of 500,000 square feet of space with options for more development nearby. It included the types of development sites it would consider, and it indicated a clear preference for land to build new buildings. It wants mass transit available on site. It wants no more than a 2-mile trip from a major highway and no more than 45 minutes from an international airport. And being the internet giant it is, Amazon wants fiber and cellular connectivity. Incentives also are part of what Amazon is interested in. The company has received more than $1.2 billion in known incentives nationwide, according to an investigation last fall by the American City Business Journals. More than $41 million of incentives have been used in Florida to attract Amazon's sorting and distribution warehouses. We don't know any details on incentives included in Miami's Amazon offer, though. Now, they are standard incentives, such as one that gives a company tax credits if certain jobs are created at certain salary levels. There's money to reimburse a company for infrastructure improvements like roads and sewers. There are incentives for tax credits against corporate income tax and sales taxes if a company moves or builds in certain targeted locations. Those are all standard incentives. These could all add up to millions of dollars given the size of the Amazon project. We just don't know because the Amazon proposal remains officially confidential. Why the secrecy when bids by some other communities have been made public? Well, this is where we picked up our conversation with the bosses of the three economic development groups behind Miami's offer, Kelly Smallridge in Palm Beach County, Bob Swindell in Broward, and Mike Finney with the Beacon Council in Miami-Dade County.
You know, I think that anytime we compete for a project of this magnitude, and frankly, smaller projects, we think it's really important that we try and maintain as much confidentiality as possible. It prevents our competitors from diving into our proposal and tipping our hand with respect to directionally where we might be going. And so we just think it's important for these projects to be as much off the radar screen as possible. And while there is, a desire to know and in some cases a need to know from the public, I think it's important for the public to understand that we as an organization are moving forward on the basis of what the company has specified in the RFP. In other words, you know, the company wanted a region that had a population of 1 million or more. Right. They wanted public transit that could meet their requirements, et cetera. What we assembled meets all those requirements. And so the message to the community should be, we're working as aggressively as possible to ensure that we're meeting the requirements as specified by the company. And the details of that should be in the near term, held close so that we don't in any way compromise competitive advantages that we may have.
In a project this size, Kelly, how do you find that balance with the public's desire or, as Mike put it, even sometimes the need to know? And what I mean by that is this is a significant development should it happen. You're talking about dozens and dozens of acres of development in already land-constrained South Florida neighborhoods could be wholly changed by any of this. How do you find that balance between retaining the competitive advantage of keeping a bid private to the public's desire or, again, need to know about the kinds of developments and promises that may be being made on their behalf?
So we strike a balance by giving the explanation. And this is not a new protocol. Keeping the proposal confidential is not new just because of the magnitude of Amazon or the name that Amazon brings. This protocol is pretty much standard with every small, medium, and large company that would ever come into our region. Once, like Mike said, if we were to ever go forward with a proposal and make it public with a company, the next county over would come up with a proposal that was even bigger and better. And so by not putting that out there, our competitors have no idea the package that we are offering and therefore can't, for lack of a better term, one-up us. And we think that's very important that we keep that quiet. So we've not had the challenge with the public. I think if anything, and this, I know my counterparts will agree, this has really shown the value of economic development to the public and clearly outlined the role that an economic development board plays. And I don't think we've ever had more cheerleaders out there in the community for us at a time when we're trying to bring a company that would certainly play a major, major positive role in our community. So the balance has been easy, and people understand that we're trying to win and don't want to show our cards.
It comes at a time where economic development has been criticized and called into question, especially at the state level, with some of the funding debates around Enterprise Florida and some of the state scrutiny that your organizations have faced on the part of the Speaker of the Florida House, especially Richard Corcoran. Bob, let me ask you, though, what public input should be included in this kind of sizable economic opportunity bid?
Well, you know, we have over the years, you know, built a level of trust and confidence with our reflective county governments. So, and I know that the same is true for Kelly Smallridge in Palm Beach and Mike in Miami-Dade County. You know, they know that we, you know, we're taxpayers as well. We have, you know, longstanding in the community. Our organizations have as well. And I know that hasn't always been the case. But building that trust has been critically important. I know the Alliance, I don't think we've ever enjoyed as much support among our county commission and our county administrator, Bertha Henry, as we do today. So I think they know that we're going to look out for the best interests of not only our elected leaders, but our taxpayers, most importantly. And I think, you know, a project of this scale, and people read about 8 million square feet and 50,000 employees, and right, they think that's going to happen tomorrow. Well, we're going to grow into this. This is not going to be something that's going to happen overnight, as you clearly laid out. The initial request was 500,000 square feet. You know, that's essentially a building. So, you know, I think as the population can accommodate that kind of growth, Kelly touched on it. We have 6 million residents in South Florida. So 50,000, you know, from a company like Amazon, plus the companies that want to be in a close orbit of an Amazon second headquarters, you know, we can accommodate at South Florida. So I think that, you know, we work cautiously, you know, and, you know, Kelly and I are quick to point out that, you know, a majority of our projects don't use incentives. So it's how else can we help a company that's looking to come into a new community? Incentives definitely help, you know, the proposal. But at the end of the day, incentives are not going to be the number one driver, and they're not going to make a bad location a good location. And I think we, over the years, have built that level of trust where, you know, our elected leadership has confidence in us, and they know that we're going to look out for the best interest.
You know, Tom, in terms of this idea of disclosing more to the public, I should mention, I think we involved more than 40 different organizations and individuals in the development of the proposal. So even though the three organizations, you know, put a lot of time and energy into it, an awful lot of other people across the communities were actively involved. Our universities, one of the most important in our academic institutions, you know, the K through 12 system in all three communities, outstanding. We wanted to make sure that the superintendents of those systems were directly involved in helping to tell the story about the future of a workforce here in Miami-Dade County. And our community colleges, our four-year institutions all played a significant role, just to name a few. So many individuals across the community were involved. The challenge for us was ensuring that the kind of confidentiality we needed was maintained. And so as you notice, bits and pieces of information has, in fact, gotten out into the public. It's not harmful. For the most part, I think it's helpful because it allows the public to know a little bit more than they would otherwise know. So these things don't just happen in a vacuum. We really have to involve many individuals and organizations across the community.
Some of the location information that's been leaked out, let me see if I can get any of you to confirm whether or not it was included in the package. The possibility of a campus in or around Overtown in the Miami Innovation District, which is next to the World Center development near downtown Miami, right near the American Airlines Arena. Mike, is that one of those locations that was included in the bid?
Yeah, so again, we don't disclose locations that may or may not be included. Certainly other individuals who are disclosing information, that's their choice, but we would not confirm it or attempt to deny it.
I would imagine the same would be for the Northwest Miami location that was leaked as well, this one near the Opa-locka Executive Airport, near what is a man-made lake today as another campus.
Right. Yeah. So we just don't disclose sites that may or may not be included.
So when you did describe this bid and walk around the community in the three counties and talk with stakeholders, did you also include some of those neighborhoods that were identified as potential targets, as potential places where a campus of this size could be built out at?
It was really important for us. In Miami-Dade, and I'll leave it up to Bob and Kelly to talk with their respective communities. But it was important for us to engage our community leaders, the elected officials in the communities, property owners. And so we knew that if we identified sites and they were simply not available for this purpose, we'd be going down a road that would probably be problematic. So we engaged our community leaders as we started to look at sites to ensure that they would be supportive as we move forward.
And of the eight sites, five are in Miami-Dade County, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. There are five in Miami-Dade, two in Broward, and one in Palm Beach.
For Broward County, Bob, how about you? Did you involve some of these neighborhood stakeholders as well?
Yeah, I think you have to. So we definitely talked to the elected leadership in the different cities, as well as city managers. You know, you don't want to propose a potential site that doesn't meet zoning requirements and things like that. So the sites all had the capacity to accommodate, you know, this Amazon HQ2 project. So, you know, the communities were permitted, I guess, for lack of a better word, but the sites were suitable.
They don't need any zoning changes if Amazon agrees to it.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Same, Kelly, for Palm Beach County as well?
Yes, we had a very open process and wanted to make sure that no one was left out, and certainly didn't pretend that we knew every appropriate site in our county. So to be fair to everyone, we actually held a meeting in our office and asked for anyone that had some applicable sites to come and partner with us and talk to us, and that's how we came up with the one site. And certainly there's been no fallout, and everyone agrees that that was the best site to put forward for our county.
Any chance you want to give us a clue as to where that site is, Kelly?
No, I can't confirm or deny that either.
Let's talk about the incentives as well. Location is one portion of this that the community has talked about, and we've seen some press reports in the Miami New Times and elsewhere leak out. Subsidies or incentives are also another place. And Mike Finney at the Beacon Council of Miami-Dade, you've said that the bid does not offer any subsidies or tax breaks that are not available to other companies interested moving in the area. So there's no new special pot of money that this bid was able to play upon, right?
Yeah, so just to provide some clarity around that, we did not seek any special incentives as a part of developing this proposal. We did hear very clear from our state elected officials that it would not be a consideration. So as a result, we did not make any kind of a formal request.
So nothing from Enterprise Florida is included in this initial bid?
No, I can't disclose what's in the bid, but we did not ask for any kind of a special legislative appropriation or anything of that nature that would enhance the incentive portion of the bid.
So nothing out of the ordinary, but Enterprise Florida has pots of money that it uses for economic development and job creation
that
incentives.
That is correct. There are standard incentives that are available at the state and the county level that we absolutely would have included in this proposal. And those are things that we generally know how they operate. And so we know that we're not extending things that would not routinely be available.
Some of these, Bob, are refunds on corporate income taxes, refunds on corporate sales taxes, property tax refunds. This all comes from the Qualified Target Industry Tax Refund, which is a fancy way of the state using incentive refund money that if certain types of jobs, numbers of jobs, and at a certain income level are created, those companies then can qualify for refunds. Would that be something like Amazon would be interested in here?
Yes, and we definitely included that in our proposal, that they are standard programs, what they were. You know, one of the reasons those programs have been so successful and are different than what you see in other parts of the country is Florida's incentive process is really it's performance-based. So you realize those benefit of those refunds and those taxes after you've actually paid the taxes into the system and the jobs have been created. We think that's one of the things that makes Florida unique. And, you know, we stand by those policies. We think it's the right way to do business. Some states and communities have gotten into problems with clawbacks and trying to extract the dollars after they've already been awarded to the company. So we're very cautious on how we, craft this side of the argument. Again, because we want to protect Florida's taxpayers and make sure that we make the right investments for our community. But I think performance-based is the way to go.
Kelly, when we hear stories about Chicago offering incentives of $2.25 billion, or Newark in the state of New Jersey offering $7 billion, is the Miami bid in that same universe?
I can't quantify where the Miami bid is, but I also would say that what the Miami-South Florida region has to offer is far, in my own personal opinion, greater in many aspects than what Chicago, New York, or New Jersey would have to offer. So I would tend not to want to place too much emphasis on incentives because, like Bob said, you can't make a bad deal good. Incentives are the icing on the cake. They run out. It's a long process. Amazon is a lot smarter than a lot of sort of less sophisticated companies to know that incentives run out at some point, and it has to be a great place that will keep them competitive and sustainable in the long run. And big companies like Amazon don't rely solely on incentives, and I'm not too certain that big numbers like that being thrown out will necessarily turn Amazon's head in that direction and rule out others, because they've got to make sure that this region or whatever region they're looking at is solid for them in the long run.
Mike, how big, how long, how sophisticated was the Miami bid?
I don't know that it was about sophistication as much as it was about the facts. And so we focused on the facts of Miami versus the requirements in their bid. The population, combined 6 million, 3 million labor force.
But there was an Arizona community sent a cactus to Seattle. There was a community, I think, near Atlanta that offered to rename the whole town Amazon. Do you do anything hokey like that? Put, a pair of flip-flops in the package as you sent it up to Seattle?
No, we chose no gimmicks. They usually don't work. They tend to be an embarrassment. I think the cactus was probably the most notable. Yeah. gimmick that was tried, and that arrived and unfortunately was rejected or donated to some other organization in town. And as it turns out, that community didn't make the cut. So I don't know if there's a direct correlation, but gimmicks usually don't work. Amazon's a very serious company, a very resourceful company. And as Kelly and Bob were saying, and when it comes to analyzing the proposals, whether it's incentives or talent or transportation, they're extremely sophisticated, and they will, in fact, normalize all those things so that they will know if there's a significant difference between Miami and any of the other communities that are out there submitting bids. So an incentive package by itself does not mean that it's the most cost-effective place for the business to locate.
What's next for the process? As you've made it to the final 20, now you go into another round. Does the initial package get built upon? Does it get put aside onto a shelf and a new package now is formed? What's next, Mike?
Yeah, so obviously the second round has now started. There are 20 communities that are participating. And the first thing for us is to do our homework on those 20 communities. The good news is we had already done some of that for the first round because we wanted to understand, based on the handicapping that was happening at a national level, what communities would likely make the cut. The good news is we didn't waste any energy in that first round. Every community that we handicapped, in fact, made the top 20. But we'll do a deeper dive looking at those communities so we understand just how where we have strengths and where we may have weaknesses.
Do you want to share with us those communities you already identified as competitive, maybe?
They're all in the 20. So
they're all in there. Okay.
They're all a part of the 20 that are in the final this final group.
New York, Los Angeles, Austin.
Of course, Austin, Denver, Atlanta. So those are all a part of the analysis that we're doing. But most importantly, this next round will be confidential. We are, in fact, under a confidentiality agreement, so we won't be disclosing anything about the details of the next round.
And is this at the request of Amazon?
Yeah, it was pretty open. They put a public RFP out there that anyone could respond to, and obviously we see what happened. Now that it's a group of semifinalists or finalists, they have requested confidentiality, and we will be operating accordingly.
And you've signed the NDA, the non-disclosure agreement.
That is correct.
And does the bid then benefit from more information coming from Amazon as well?
Yeah, it definitely requires a two-way exchange of information. They're looking for things. They want to understand things better. And so we need to make sure that we're maintaining confidentiality with respect to that.
Can you tell us about the process that you expect to come from this and what the next few months maybe look like in the timeline?
Yeah, I think even going there, I think, would be a breach of the confidentiality agreement. I think suffice it to say that the community should be excited that we are still under consideration. And I'm sure that Amazon, in due time, will announce further details with respect to where they are in making a decision. And we need to still engage a number of partners throughout the community. And we'll extend the same level of confidentiality that we're required to them.
Can you give us a deadline of when the package is due to Amazon to consider?
Yeah, at this point, it would be inappropriate for us to disclose.
You're not
going to
give me anything, are you, Mike? Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I'm going
to
try, though. And yet they held to their confidentiality pledge. Still to come, bringing together economic competitors as collaborators in one region.
Probably the thing that was most challenging was, what would the proposal be, Miami, or would it be South Florida, or would it be something else?
This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Today, it's Amazon's HQ2 in the Sunshine Economy. Thanks for listening. Economic development agencies are used to attract and grow local economies by bringing new jobs to the area and expanding existing companies. The South Florida effort to bring Amazon to the region is really unprecedented, both for what Amazon is offering to bring with it, a $5 billion investment over 20 years, up to 50,000 jobs, but also the collaboration between the three major South Florida counties. While not exactly direct competitors for business development in the past, the three economic development groups in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties had not cooperated as closely as they had until Amazon came along. And it won't be the last region-wide effort to attract a big company to the area. Back to our interview now with Mike Finney of the Miami-Dade Beacon Council, Bob Swindell with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance, and Kelly Smallridge with the Business Development Board of Palm Beach County.
now it just charges us up even more to take this approach for additional deals down the road, because just as Amazon is looking at a region, companies do not know any city or county boundaries. They're looking at the overall region. And when you throw Brightline in there and the ease of which the workforce can travel in between, I think that the three of us are only going to go in this direction more often than not, especially in the case of these larger projects that require a larger workforce. Each one of us knew we could not have stood on our own two legs and met the requirements of Amazon.
Bob, how did that collaboration come together, even down to the point of being very public with the three of you talking about this as a Miami bid for Amazon, but yet meaning kind of the Royal Miami, all of South Florida?
Yeah, so maybe we'll start calling it the Royal Miami.
Think we want to start that.
Greater Miami doesn't really resonate either. I think, you know, Miami's got a global brand. And, you know, we market Broward County as Greater Fort Lauderdale because we realize that there's brand equity in Fort Lauderdale. And I think for South Florida, the same is true. I'll say this, though. You know, Kelly and I have worked together for years. And I think the mutual respect and trust we have for one another just comes through anytime, you know, we talk to our boards. It was interesting, by accident, 2 weeks before this whole process became public and Amazon announced this search, we brought our teams together. And what I thought would maybe take an hour, we spent over 3 hours together, met in Fort Lauderdale. Executive Airport hosted us, and we had Kelly's team, including her business development folks, membership, same for the Alliance, and Mike brought his team up from the Beacon Council.
What precipitated that get-together?
You know, we've been talking about, we think meeting regularly is important, not only for Mike, Kelly, and myself, but for our teams. We do compete, and I think being friendly competitors is important. We have a great relationship when it comes to companies in our communities reaching out to us. We don't look for companies in Palm Beach or Miami-Dade, but if we're approached by one, we try to share that with our partner immediately. Obviously, keeping that company in the community it's in now is our first priority. If the options for locations don't measure up with what the company's looking for, then our next priority is to keep them in South Florida. So that, you know, that protocol already exists. And I'll say this, you know, when we first got the, you know, we've all heard that Amazon was going to do this process. We had just met 2 weeks before. So the collaboration was fresh in our minds. And I think we were literally exchanging emails with one another saying, hey, what do you think about working on this together? And that was, you know, you asked the question from the, you know, instant that we saw the proposal and what they were looking for, working together was going to be the key.
Was there any trepidation on the part of Broward or Kelly in Palm Beach about sharing the level of information that you felt was necessary for this first bid with your neighbor? Even as you're still collaborating, you do still have some friendly competition as well.
No, there was no trepidation in that regard because it's data. And every site selection consultant and company, they're looking at the numbers, they're looking at the facts. To add to, you know, what pushed us in that direction, CEOs are asking for this information. So while the three of us wanted to get together to collaborate anyways, and Mike was coming on fairly new, and Bob and I also wanted to get to know Mike, I think that the private business side is also asking not only, well, what's in your county, but tell us about your overall region. Because in Palm Beach County specifically, while we have an airport, I wanted to be able to brag about Fort Lauderdale and Miami because they offer international access that, quite frankly, my county doesn't offer. And so I looked at the presentation of the data as being complementary in nature and did not worry about the competitive nature of putting that out there.
The collaboration amongst the three, each of you are longtime veterans of economic development. Mike, you're the newest to South Florida, but you perhaps have some very, very deep experience in the Ann Arbor area and throughout the entire state of Michigan. Talk to us about the kind of collaboration you're seeing here geographically and what that may portend after this Amazon decision happens.
This was not a difficult thing for us conceptually. Obviously, the execution becomes much more challenging. Probably the thing that was most challenging was, what would the proposal be, Miami, or would it be South Florida, or would it be something else? And, you know, Miami is, it clearly sends a message. It has a brand, and it's great, and I'm excited to represent that brand. But we also know that we have partners in these other communities that have to equally be represented. And so figuring out how to get that part right is one of the essential things that we have to do going forward, because there will be many other opportunities. You know, just this week, we were exchanging email about another big opportunity that's sitting out there that we think makes sense for us to go after as a region, for the same reason that we're going after Amazon as a region. We all know that if projects of this magnitude land in any one of our communities, all three are going to benefit. The commuter patterns, the labor patterns, you know, all those things send a powerful message about each one of the communities having tremendous upside opportunity, and the likelihood for follow-on business from other communities or from other companies will likely happen.
This other opportunity that you vaguely referred to, Mike, is this also a technology company?
I'm going to punt to Bob and Kelly.
Kelly?
Bob punts to Kelly. All right.
I don't have any problems.
This one lands in Palm Beach County. Kelly, is this another technology opportunity?
I wouldn't put it in one specific industry. I would say it's a large operation of which we will competitively go after in the same manner, and something that our community would be very proud if they chose us as their next town.
Is it a company that shares the same first letter as Amazon?
It does start with a letter in the alphabet, yes.
It does start with a letter in the alphabet. As most folks may or may not be aware of, within a matter of days after Amazon announcing top 20, Apple has come forward and saying it is interested in having an HQ2 somewhere else, probably in the United States, and is wanting to establish a new campus. And a lot of speculation has been out in the public that this experience with the three of you in pitching South Florida as a location for Amazon may be applicable for whatever Apple has in mind. Is that something, Kelly and Bob, you'd agree with?
Yes, or any other corporate headquarters. That's exactly the value of our collaboration, is now that we've been down the road and we're perfecting it, this was not a one-off that we would only provide to Amazon. We want to use this model to go after other like companies.
You know, this was not going to be a one-off. We feel that on significant projects, you know, a project like this or even something like an Apple project is going to benefit all three counties. And so it's to our own benefit that we pull together and use the collaborative strength of South Florida as a region. My community was very interesting when we were approached about sites and my different mayors from across Broward County calling me. As soon as I told them this was going to be a collaborative effort, they dialed back the very myopic approach sometimes that our city leaders take. And they were like, wow, that's impressive.
Still to come on our interview, the challenges that would come if South Florida wins the Amazon headquarters. And most of them are already here.
I saw so many leaders actually starting to think about the solutions that they would move forward with from a transportation, housing, and workforce standpoint quicker if Amazon selected our area, because they would wrap their arms around a company of this magnitude.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. South Florida has a reputation as an expensive place to live, one where you have to have a car to get around, and traffic is just a headache. The income gap is wide, and some communities are being edged out of their own neighborhoods by quickly rising real estate prices. These are all challenges that could be amplified if South Florida becomes home to Amazon's second corporate headquarters, its $5 billion of investment, and up to 50,000 new jobs over the course of the next decade and a half. The bosses at the economic development agencies for Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach acknowledge these conditions exist today, but say time is on their side in addressing these problems, and the Amazon business could help speed up addressing them out of necessity. Back to Kelly Smallridge in Palm Beach County, Bob Swindell in Broward, and Mike Finney in Miami-Dade County.
Those are issues that we have more than enough time to plan for. And so our ability to look for housing options and transportation options that are not obvious to our citizenry right now is something that we have some time to work on. So I feel very confident that we can plan and do a much better job with the kind of development that's likely to happen as a result of this than perhaps what you've seen in other cities. But I will also say These communities are major urban metros right now, and we all deal with the cost of housing and congestion and other issues, and those are really good problems to have. And I worry if we got to a point where we did not have the kind of vibrancy that we see in our communities. And frankly, that's how I prefer to look at it. We have vibrant communities, and they're likely to become more vibrant with many more options for housing and restaurants and entertainment and employment should this project happen in Miami-Dade.
Bob, how does the community think about these challenges of success if this bid is successful? The 50,000 jobs don't just come in 1 month. It is over the course of many, many years. But building up to that, and already a congested area, already an area that is land constrained for new development, for housing, expensive and affordable rental communities, has been difficult for a good portion of our working population.
And those aren't going to be easy things to fix overnight. But as Mike said, we have time. You know, this is a ramp-up period. So there's time to focus on these key issues. I know that in Broward, we're looking very seriously at workforce housing and what that could look like, and how do you create local incentives to make that happen. You know, that's going to be important. And I think companies like Amazon will look at the local community and its leadership and watch how they tackle problems like this and what are they doing already.
Kelly, how about these difficulties that could be presented should HQ2 come into your community?
So clearly this is a transformational project, and we've never seen anything of this magnitude. But in engaging in the dialogue with our elected officials here, if it's one thing that I did learn, and I think my counterparts would say the same, is that, you know, given the innovation and the quality that an Amazon would bring to our region, I saw so many leaders actually starting to think about the solutions that they would move forward with from a transportation, housing, and workforce standpoint quicker if Amazon selected our area, because they would wrap their arms around a company of this magnitude. I think our elected officials throughout our area, if we were to continue forward with Amazon and we were to land them, you're going to find elected leaders and the general public be very excited about this opportunity and look forward to coming up with some meaningful solutions that are very different than the traditional ones that we have engaged in the past.
Talking with Kelly Smallridge of the Business Development Council of Palm Beach County, Bob Swindell with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance, and Mike Finney with the Beacon Council of Miami-Dade County, the three local economic development agency bosses behind Miami's bid to host Amazon's second corporate headquarters. You can look for a podcast of this program by searching Sunshine Economy on iTunes. Pilar Ribe is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.